First of all, my good people, I urge you as always to pay attention to the bulletins, and especially this current series of bulletins that's titled, Let Not the Winds Blow Out the Light. If you can, when this series is over, if you can start over and read them all through again, from beginning to end, slowly, and take your time, it will make more sense, and you may get a lot of good out of them. Because it's dealing with something that's real close to our hearts today, is how to cope with the disappearance of our Catholic faith and the Catholic Church. Also in this particular bulletin is a page and a half concerning October the 10th at the Abbey's Church and Our Lady of the Cape. We are fortunate to own one of the original statues, so we understand. And we are going to crown it officially and bless it with the help of Bishop McKenna on October the 10th. And I strongly encourage everyone who can to make that trip and that effort, even if it costs a little in the way of suffering or handicap or hardship or even finances. I think it would be worth it to show Our Lady that we love her and that we are willing to give her one special day, a very special day, out of our lives, to honor her in a very special way. There will be an outdoor procession with benediction with the Blessed Sacrament outdoors also, weather permitting, of course. And there will be a carrying of the statue of Our Lady of Fatima in the procession with flowers in the works, trying to show Our Lady that we do love her and begging her to help us in these most perilous times. I also encourage everyone to pray for everybody who is suffering from all these terrible storms and the terrible weather we've been having all over the world. Not just the storms, but the drought and the fires and so forth. Pray for all these people. Ask God to help them and bless them and to be merciful. Also, this coming Wednesday, something is taking place that is very important, but I realize that most of you will not be able to attend because it's the middle of the week and it's in Coleman. But we have finally managed to, or we are finally going to manage to consecrate our high altar. All this time we've simply had an altar stone that had been consecrated sitting on top. But now we are going to consecrate the altar itself with a 10-foot long piece of granite. And inside is a little hole that we will place relics, special relics. And it's about a 4-hour ceremony, but it's one of these once-in-a-lifetime events. And it's a very solemn and very special occasion. If you cannot be present, I at least ask your prayers for us on that day in a special way to help us to get through it, because it's a very complicated and involved ceremony. Also, next Montgomery Sunday, which is October the 3rd, is our annual fall picnic with a covered dish dinner after Mass. And I encourage everyone, I remind everyone that everyone is welcome. Also, on the back of this bulletin is a schedule of the people that are going to be physically involved in the ceremony on October the 10th. And if any of you are on the list and have any difficulty with either being present or fulfilling what we are asking of you, please let us know as soon as possible. Also, I forgot to put it in the bulletin, but in the back table is the All Souls Day envelope. And I know it's early, but because we only have Mass here once a month, if we can have them back by next Montgomery Sunday, it would be good. Then we can put them on our altar. My good people, today's gospel, I think, is very appropriate, especially for today and for these times. When we see our faith and our Catholic churches and our Catholic religion diminishing and disappearing little by little, and our good Catholic priests becoming less and less in number, and it's becoming harder and harder for some of us, for some of you, to find a place and a priest to attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass on a regular basis. And it's even becoming more difficult for some people to find a place to attend even on a sporadic basis. And there's a concern. What are we to do? This is where faith comes in. Trust that God loves us enough to take care of us. But it becomes very difficult sometimes. When we look around and we see everything that's happening, dear God, why don't you do something? But he sits there and does nothing, or so it seems. And we have a tendency to start wondering and start questioning, almost against our will. Well, God, do you really care? Are you even really there? Little by little, these thoughts start picking at us. But that's where we have to stand up and say, in spite of everything, yes, dear God, I believe in you. I trust in you. I love you. My good people, some of you have heard this story before. Bear with me. But it's such a good opening for what I'm wanting to say. And we can make so much use of it. And it's also what it also reinforces what the bulletin is leading up to. How are we supposed to cope when we have no priest we can go to, when we have no church we can visit the Blessed Sacrament in? What are we supposed to do? This story I'm about to tell you, I heard from another, an old priest, an old Dominican priest. I don't even know if he's still alive. It's a beautiful story. He apparently knew of it at least secondhand, if not firsthand. But somewhere back around the turn of the century, in the Canadian frontier, a young man and his wife and his young family, large young family of 10 children, one boy and 9 girls, I don't remember why they moved out there, but they ended up there on a little farm in the middle of nowhere. The nearest town was 100 miles away, and the nearest priest. Shortly after they moved out there and settled down, the father died and left his young mother with 10 young children, all on her own. Once, about every 5 years, a priest who was in the nearest town, 100 miles away, would go out of his way to visit them on horseback and to counsel them and hear confession and have them give them Mass once every 5 or so years when he could make it. In the meantime, what did she do? All she had was a catechism and the rosary. And yet, as the years passed, and she grew old and died, she left behind 9 Benedictine nuns and 1 priest. So my good people, we are in a wilderness, and we're heading for an even deeper wilderness. We must do the same thing. You all must do the same thing. When you can't get to Mass as often as you would like, it's to find a special place, dedicate a special place in your home that we have already counseled you. Even if it's just a tiny little corner, a sacred, a holy place, a place where you can go to be close to our Lord. He is present, maybe not as he is in the Blessed Sacrament, of course not. But he is still present in that sacred place. You must go there and turn to him and give him your love and your suffering and your heartaches. You must give him your trust and know that he understands the hardships in which you are living. He understands, he reads your heart. He knows that you would go to church, that you would go to the priest if there was one available that you could trust. So instead, go to your homes, your little home chapels, and make a visit to our Lord as often as you can. You don't have to say much. Just love him. And your children the same way. Don't force them. Show them. Show them how to love God. Teach them the best way you can. Encourage them. But above all, be patient with them. We must all imitate a certain inanimate object that I love to use as an example. A boulder in the middle of a stream. That boulder just sits there and minds his own business and lets the waters flow around it and over it and even under it. But it just sits there. That's what we must do, my good people, with the rivers of the world that flow ever and ever faster and faster and faster and more furiously. We must not let ourselves get caught up like the tiny pebbles do and let themselves be washed down the stream. No, we must imitate that boulder. We must let the rivers of the world flow around us, no matter how much they rock us or try to disturb us. We must keep our peace and our trust and hold on to God's hand as a boulder holds on to the riverbank, the riverbed. We must force ourselves to calm down and to slow down, because the world is so insidious. The hurry-upness of the world is so insidious that before we realize it, we're all strung up and strung out. And rush, 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 rush. We must relax and back off. That's the only way our trust can come to the fore, our faith can come to the fore. And like that boulder, sit and wait things out and wait for God's good time, because we know that God will not let us be washed downstream. as long as we trust in Him. But it's when we turn loose of God's hand and say, "You're too slow, God. I'm going to do it my way." Before we know it, we're way downstream, gasping for breath, and in a much worse situation than we were. So my good people, I encourage you, when you get home today, to take time out to reread this gospel and to ponder on what faith really means. And that it is faith that God is looking for from us above all things, faith and love. May God bless us all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.